The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So I had told you guys that something was getting in our garbage cans. Was digging through the bags, was dragging garbage all over our yard.
Right, let me help you with these dishes, huh?
Oh, no, George, you don't have to.
No, I know I don't have to. I want to.
George, you are such a gentleman.
I'd argue if I could.
Last night, Dario gets an alert at 11:27. An animal at the front door. And there it is! Little Rocky Raccoon just traipsing across our front porch, headed to the smorgasbord, which is our garbage can.
It was not in the garbage. It was above the garbage, hovering like an angel. Of course I know your aunt bit it. I kissed her goodbye. Listen, can I tell you something else? In my family, we used to eat out of the garbage all the time. It was no big thing.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it.
So as the show open is rolling, look over at the big guy. And I say to him, oh, did you get a haircut, big guy? And what did you say?
Yes. Is that what I said?
That's correct. That okay. Is that you answered in the affirmative.
I got one right.
That you, like, what is this, a test?
Yes.
Pop quiz.
Didn't realize you had to pay attention.
What is the movie that's from? Pop quiz.
Hot Shot.
Hot Shot? I thought maybe it was Saw, but that's, do you want to play a game? Different inquiry. he says yes, and I say, no, you're supposed to say, I got them all cut. Because that's the dad joke.
Yes.
I didn't get a haircut.
What is a mall cut?
There it is.
M-A-U-L or M-A-L-L?
Mall like a dog.
Yeah.
The hell's mall with a dog?
It's M-A-U-L.
It's when they don't sharpen the scissors and your hair ends up looking so bad.
Very confused right now.
Yeah, that's
and that's what we were getting to.
Generally,
so
your state
I
of
said,
being.
Okay. I said to you, no, I got them all cut. I'm all. Them all. That's the dad joke.
Okay.
Did you get a haircut?
My dad used to say it. I had no idea what the hell he meant.
Yeah, no.
I thought it was just him being old.
So then Chewy says, what even is a mall cut? Mall, M-A-L-L, or, as Joshy just tried to get him to follow the bouncing ball on, mall, as in M-A-U-L. But no, not mall cut, like you got it at the supercuts at the mall. all, them all. We're having a real pan situation.
Yeah, it is very
pandish. Gabe just rolled his eyes and chuckled to himself.
So a mall cut is bad.
It's not good.
Oh, that's a bad joke. Oh, like, you get your ears lowered?
You still don't get the joke.
You don't get the joke.
I don't. Let's just move on.
Did you get a haircut?
And the response is, no, I got them all cut.
That's the dad joke.
Now I get it.
Now he gets
what a bad joke.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
That's well, a
the fact that we
joke.
Have spent four
are,
minutes on this,
but
I am
embarrassed. Dad jokes are bad jokes. Isn't that the whole point of dad jokes? They're
yeah, but like, I never knew it was bad.
Because you didn't understand it before.
I am a little offended that you think this has no value, what we're doing right here.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
I feel like it is confirming thoughts that we have had.
So a mall cut is bad.
And all speaking right. of concussions.
He's still yeah. saying mall cut.
What is it called?
Them all.
No, my dad said mall.
Got them all.
I got them all cut.
Gotta no, catch
them
I all. Don't think so. I mean, I have
what
bad
is this
hearing.
Pokemon now?
Yeah.
No, he called it a mall cut.
No, I don't think so, he says to me. The one who delivered the joke.
I had no idea about the dull scissors.
I made that up on the spot.
Oh. Am I gullible?
Half a cup.
Put it on the poll.
Half a
put
cup.
Put it on the poll. Is Chewy gullible?
Half a cup.
I think I am.
I'm gullible. I was under the impression that having an allergy to water was impossible. You guys told me that is not the case this morning. So one of the Packers' new draft picks, Jacob Monk, offensive lineman out of Duke, revealed yesterday. Now, he had talked about it before, but Bill Huber yesterday, I guess, got him to chit-chat about it a little bit at Lambeau Field, that he has a cold water allergy. And in the vein of be curious, not judgmental, I want to unpack this. When do you determine you have a cold water allergy?
Well, he found out by jumping into a cold tub before his first game at the University of Duke, broke out in hives all over the place. So, yeah, that's when he found out, broke out in hives. They did the test, and sure enough, he's got this this cold water allergy.
It is rare. I looked it up this morning. It's pretty rare. It's called cold. Now, I don't know. There's a lot of vowels in this word. U-R-T-I-C-A-R-I-A. Urticaria, you think?
Sure.
Cold urticaria or urticaria. I'm not sure if the U is a or a ur, but U-R-T-I-C-A-R-I-A. It is a rare allergy where the skin or the underlying system is affected by cold water. And I said to you guys this morning, are you telling me this dude, because it happened apparently his freshman year of college.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first 18 years of his life, he never jumped into a cold lake. He never went swimming in a cold pool. Like, he never had an experience before his freshman year of college where he figured out that he had an allergy to cold water.
Well, it's cold.
Yeah. Obviously the ice has something to do with it.
So when he ices, he gets the same thing?
Quite possibly, sure.
Got him. How can you play football without using ice?
I don't know.
It's impossible.
I don't know, man.
See, but
he was able to do it throughout college.
Yeah. And I think it's the water aspect is what, like, as long as you wrap it and you're not getting the cold water on you,
yeah,
I'm sure
not,
you can cool down your body.
Weird.
It is unusual, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But hives are really nothing, right?
Right.
So in his story, though, Gabe, mm-hmm. So full disclosure, didn't it say he passed out? He got the hives and then he passed out. That's the bigger concern.
I don't see that in the Dubofsky article.
I'm very allergic to cold water. So a quick story. Before we played Alabama my freshman year, I decided it would be a good idea to hop in the cold tub. I was like, this is really cold. I didn't know it would be that cold. I get out of the cold tub and go shower. I'm itching. I've got hives everywhere. When I get out of the shower, I pass out in the locker room.
Oof.
Huh.
So that apparently is the concern. Now listen, again, curiosity, not judgment. How do you play in Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Well, because he said it's not the air and it's not snow. So he said he could be in snow and all that, and it's always been a dream of his to play in the snow.
Goshy, I think you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Snow is water.
I'm just telling you what the kid said, Joshy.
Did he never play in snow? I mean, again, North Carolina, he's at Duke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It feels like in the ACC you could end up in some cold games.
Your season's over by what? December 1, though?
Is this a Duke joke or a...
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you go play at Pitt, you go play at BC with the potential for snow, but doesn't really snow back there in November.
What I'm curious about is, so I can write the story of him never coming in contact with ice cold water, like to that extent.
Sure.
But you got to be drinking ice cold water or a soda or something of that. So is it?
It's a skin allergy.
Right. But you would imagine that would affect the inside of your mouth, no?
Obviously not.
These are all good questions.
Obviously
these
not.
These are all good questions.
I don't know if it's obviously not.
I think these are all good questions.
I mean, if he didn't find out till he was a freshman in college.
I mean, but you never got stuck in a cold rain? You know, I can think of at least 5 instances in my life where I've gotten stuck running from somewhere to somewhere and it's pouring out and it's cold and like, never?
I think the ice has something to do with it. Like that cold. Like cold rain isn't, again, going to be that cold.
Okay, so there is a certain extreme temperature.
My guess is below 32. Like, it's, I think the ice has something to do with this. Like, I'm guessing if he's in the cold tub and there's the ice in the cold tub, my guess is it's directly the ice.
So I imagine, and again, giving people the benefit of the doubt, that when you are scouting players, since this was public, it wasn't like he had kept it close to the vest and then just revealed it to Bill Huber in the locker room at 12:65 yesterday. I assume then that a team does its due diligence, that that is not something that will keep him from being able to play games. Is it any different than, I suppose, a peanut allergy or allergic to bees or something like that? Because you could theoretically be out there practicing one day and a bee zips by and you get stung by a bee and you have a deadly bee allergy. That shouldn't keep you from playing football. This is very, it's very unusual. And that's why we're very curious about the cold water allergy, especially when you get drafted to a place that plays in very cold weather where there may be and has been precipitation. So did they have conversations about like, hey, this isn't an issue as far as playing goes?
So I believe it was right after the pick was made, one of the guys in player development for the Packers, not Goody or anyone.
John Eric Sullivan.
Yeah, said they were aware of it and they deemed it not an issue. So it wasn't a surprise to them after he was drafted. They were aware of it because as you do if you plan to pick these guys, you find out every single thing about them from medicals to their dating history to their familial history. A lot goes into it, so it wasn't a surprise. But I did look up here that holding cold objects can cause this to happen, and swelling of the lips from consuming cold food or drink.
That's a good look today, though.
What is?
Big lips.
Women get plumpers in them.
Yeah, so just drink some cold water. The hell?
I think they're worried about the other side effects, maybe. You know, he passed out, so is that attractive? I mean, she's passed out.
I bet some girls
lips.
Would trade off passing out for big lips instead of sticking needles in there or stung by bees.
That's what a lot of those plumpers are, by the way. They're chemicals that life then just cause. No, but you might be onto something, buddy. If you ever want to leave the radio business and go make some extra money, you let me know how the getting stung by bees in your lips works for the plumpers. No, it's literally a chemical that causes your lips to swell. And then it's like, ooh, look at my luscious lips.
They never look good, Jen. They never look good. They don't. If I'm sitting there going, you got your lips injected, that is a bad look. That's not a good look.
He's talking to you like you're considering getting this done. Like, no, Jen, don't do it. I'm telling you, it's bad. Don't do it.
For whatever it's worth, I am not considering getting lip injections. No judgment, again, for those who do. But now you know where Chewy stands on them.
Someone's judging here.
Put it on the poll. Who is judging? Let's see. Hold on. Want your mind blown? This from Alan in the 414. A student at my school is allergic to cold air. She's always wrapped up. It's not the air, but the wind. Temperature does have something to do with it. I've seen her medical paperwork. We Googled her condition. Sheila weighing in the 414. If you have allergies and they are severe allergies, they typically take over your respiratory system. That's why they are scary. And the first warning is the hives. The swelling can attack your throat and your tongue, etc. Again, that's my concern, is that this would be more serious, that this might keep him from being able to have a career in Green Bay, Wisconsin. John weighing in the 414 saying it's hard to see the hives that develop inside of your stomach and your throat. So he's saying you could still get the hives, Gabe, from drinking the cold water, and Joshy, but you may not see them. Steven Rhinelander saying, my son plays football in college. He got two different bacterial infections from cold tubs last fall. I'm really questioning if it's from the cold water or the junk in the tub. Full disclosure, that was my first question to you guys when you brought this up to me. Could it possibly be whatever chemicals they are using to clean the cold tub instead of the cold tub? But you said he's been diagnosed with the allergy.
It was an actual medical condition, and the result in fainting, which is a form of anaphylaxis that he went into, which would lead to allergy, not just simply dirty water or chemicals.
Yeah. Plus, again, like as much as, I mean, you talked about the NFL teams wanting the, you know, the medicals done and all these different things, these college teams also yeah. extensive medical work yeah. on the college football
that's,
players.
That's why it's so rare when a medical thing pops up for these people, because they are constantly being evaluated.
But there's no medication he can take? Like for allergies, you take Zyrtec or Claritin.
Sure.
Or...
But again, this being a pretty rare disease, yeah. and also, you know, funding isn't exactly
robust. But like a Benadryl, yeah. I mean, some of yeah. these things cover a lot of sure. different allergies.
Yeah, but if I get stung by a bee with a bee allergy, a Benadryl ain't going to do me crap.
Yes, I think, so my daughter has a histamine. She has excessive histamine in her system, so we have had these conversations with her dermatologist. If she were to get stung by a bee, they don't know what her reaction to it would be because of the excess histamine. So they did say we should always have Benadryl on hand to immediately, hopefully, counteract whatever the effects are of her histamine situation. Let's see. I did Google, guys, the strangest allergies, the most bizarre allergies, and water is number one. Yes, you read that right. Water, good old H2O, can actually cause people with what we said, urticaria. I really hope that somebody can let us know what that is before the end of the show. To break out in hives whenever their skin comes in contact with water. They itch constantly and can be painful. While there are some topical and oral medications that can ease this itching, being allergic to water has no known cure. Do you guys want to try to guess what the other five are on this list?
The other five what?
Bizarre allergies.
Bizarre.
Sun is going to be there.
Sun is on the list. Yes, number four.
Is that bizarre, though? I guess I've known enough of that. I've heard of it enough.
And it's that word again. It's solar urticaria.
I would guess I've heard of people being allergic to sweat.
Exercise after eating is on the list. Oh, sweat is on the list. It's number six on the list.
Really?
It actually has six. But exercise after eating is on the list. We have heard that some people are allergic to exercising after eating.
Yeah, that's obvious in this country. Quite. Go to the airport or the DMV, huh? Yeah, they're allergic to working out.
You're in rare form. Is there any other population you're planning on taking out this morning on the radio?
You decided to throw it off the backboard. It's not his fault if he dunked it.
Coins is on the list, Gabe.
Coins
is on the list. People are allergic to nickel and certain metals. So when they touch coins, they have an allergic reaction. And this is the strangest one. Being touched. There are plenty of people out there who are allergic to their skin being touched. It triggers a histamine release. There's that word again, causing hives and itching. There is no cure for this allergy, but antihistamines can help if you are allergic to being touched. I have friends that would claim that they were allergic to being touched.
So clearly it's a like human to human thing. Because if you're wearing a shirt,
something
like
about
that's
like,
on your, yeah, because yeah. like the shirt the is on your skin. Yeah, it's got to be something about another person touching you.
What happens
you?
If you touch yourself?
You're good.
Isn't there a song about that? Aren't there several?
I touch myself.
Oh. Are there many songs about that, actually? All right, we got to get to Jason Wilde. Let's talk some serious Packers stuff with Jason Wilde right after this.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
We have come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Checking in with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde this morning about the Green Bay Packers. Jason, we were just having a conversation about Jacob Monk and his cold water allergy. First time we have heard about anything like that. And our general assumption is that the medical staff of the Green Bay Packers has determined that will not be an issue for him playing in the frozen tundra of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Are you under the same impression?
Yes, that's exactly what Don Eric Sullivan told us on Saturday, that they're aware of it, not an issue for them. I did find it, I guess, amusing, even though this is not like, I had one of our listeners email me and say that their son has the same issue, which I had never heard of until Saturday either. But it's not. I mean, it's really strange. Like, apparently, there's like this kind of window of where the temperature can be without it being an issue for folks that have this malady. So it is something they'll have to monitor. But even John Eric Sullivan, the vice president of player personnel, you know, kind of made a wisecrack about it and said, you know, we'll just make sure he doesn't go ice fishing. But, like, we had all kinds of questions. Like, you know, is it okay to play in snow? And can you drink a glass of cold water? And so, you know, it was one of the things that you do this job for a long time and you think you've seen everything. Now maybe I've seen everything.
Jason, we've seen all the pundits' grades. Most of them are B's. What grade would you give them, and who do you really like out of this draft?
Incomplete. I give them incomplete.
Okay.
It's stupid that we do these grades right away. I wonder what did the Jets get when they drafted Zach Wilson the day after or 2 days after they drafted him, right? And ultimately that was an F, right? Because you didn't get your franchise quarterback. There's a number of guys that I really like. Monk is one of them. He just has kind of a Corey Linsley vibe to me. They were both drafted in the fifth round. They're both former captains. They're both really smart dudes. They both play center, not a left tackle moving over to center. So he was one of them. The guys that I'm really intrigued by, Edgerrin Cooper is one of them. I know there was some question about, you know, how effectively he can digest the playbook. I get the sense that what Jeff Hafley wants from him and Quay Walker and anyone else who plays linebacker for them is just to be free-flowing and fast and long and go sideline to sideline and be able to do all the things that, you know, these really good interior linebackers are doing now in terms of being able to get after the quarterback when called upon, be stout against the run, and also cover people. There's an interesting conversation that we had with Goody because, you know, back in your day, the middle linebacker, I think he said that they were square, which is not the shape that I was thinking of when it came to, like, Ron Cox and Bernardo Harris. But I guess that's kind of true, right? Mm-hmm. They're just sort of like, you know, these big, bulky dudes, and that's not what they are anymore. So I'm really interested in him. And then, you know, the running back, Lloyd, there aren't many times where I'm taller than a player that they draft. But his 220 pounds and my 220 pounds, I think, are slightly different. Mine is much softer than his. And then the last one that I'm really curious about, obviously I thought it was great that they drafted an Oregon guy and an Oregon State guy, both at the same position. But I'm really intrigued by Kalen King. Like, I you know, he's not a seventh-round pick like Tausch, who, you know, only spent 1 year as a starter at Wisconsin and he didn't know how good he might be. Or like Driver, who had played, you know, at a small school at Alcorn State. Or even Timmerman, right? I think what's interesting about King is, like, after his sophomore year, everybody thought he was going to be a first-round pick. And then he had a really bad junior year, came out anyway, and ends up going with the third-to-last pick in the draft. So it's a really interesting class. I'm eager to see what they can do when we go to practice, hopefully on Friday.
Should we expect going forward that when the Packers have a need going into the draft, Gutekunst is just going to take a couple of different players, and I look at the linebackers, they take the two in Cooper and Hopper. You mentioned the two safeties, also throwing a third one with their second-round pick in Javon Bullard out of Georgia, because the one word I feel like we've been hearing the last 2 years around this time, Jason, is competition, and they want as much competition on the roster as possible.
They do, and I think that they have succeeded on that. And I mean, again, in 3 years, they've drafted 35 players, and nobody in the league has done that. And, you know, I'll be honest, we went into last Monday and the presser with Goody thinking, okay, He's got 11 picks. He picked 24 guys the last 2 years. There's no way that they want to have another big double-digit draft class. And he told us that he did. I hope, you know, I'd like to get 13 or 14 or more, he said, right? And then he was up to 13 at one point before he made a couple of trades. So this is really what he wants. I can't emphasize this enough. You know, he kind of dropped some breadcrumbs earlier in the offseason that because of what had happened with the offense last year with all those young guys, that he was going to try and do the same thing on defense. And then I just asked him flat out about it on Monday. And I said, you know, are you more convinced than ever that this is a young man's game? And was there some sort of shift in your mentality? And he said that he's always believed that. And what last year did was it confirmed his belief that this is a, you have to go young. And that if you play young guys early and go through the growing pains with them and the frustration and the disappointment and the poor plays and the mistakes, that you come out better on the other side and you're better off long term. Now, that worked last year. I would defer to Chewy, but it is almost as if there's been this kind of, I don't want to call it an overcorrection because this is what he believes. But I've always believed in the value of experience. And I am a little bit, I don't want to say leery, but a lot of young guys, it's great, you know, youth, and they're not, you know, John Eric Sullivan made a comment about how when you have an older team, it affects how you practice, and it takes guys longer to recover. I just think they're all in on youth, and I am curious if, you know, they were a couple of plays away from being 7-10 instead of 9-8, and we're not feeling the exact same way about them today as we are if they do that. So I'm really curious to see this. If he is right, and he very well could be, you know, they're doing things very differently. No team has gone, you know, we always talked about how Ted loved young players. I mean, this is well beyond even what Ted would do. So it's a really fascinating experiment, and I can't wait to see how it plays out.
Is it your guess then, Jason, that they will be the youngest team again this season, just with how many of the draft picks we kind of expect or are projected to be out there on the field?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any question. Like, they, you know, they did add two veteran players, but even those guys, like, you know, Xavier McKinney is younger than Darnell Savage, who was their opening day starter, and Josh Jacobs is younger than Aaron Jones. And then you add all these draft picks. You know, I think it's a fascinating case study. And if they succeed and if they go win a Super Bowl like this, you know, I'm not saying that this is like Moneyball, where Billy Beane, you know, completely changed baseball. But I think it's really interesting that if this succeeds, I wonder how many other teams will say, all right, we're going to very rarely give out third contracts and maybe even more rarely give out second contracts than normal, right? Like, you know, I'm curious if they're just going to, like John Runyon, for example. Chewy, I don't know if you agree with this, but John Runyon played well enough that back in the Ron Wolf, Ted Thompson era, you would have re-signed him. And he'd be a starter for another 4 years. And instead, it was kind of like, yeah, we're not going to pay for that. We think we can get a young guy, Sean Ryan, who we drafted 2 years after we took Runyon. We think we can get him ready and he can play the same way. Like, it's almost like very few people are irreplaceable beyond the quarterback. And I guess we'll even see if there are wide receivers that become, you know, guys that we absolutely positively have to re-sign.
Jason, I'm giving you 100-1 odds, and you're putting $100 down. Give me the starting line for the opening game against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh, you got me thinking now, because I'm, you know, a big better guy. Can I bet with you $100?
Yeah, sure.
So, Tom at right tackle, Ryan at right guard. I think Josh Myers still the starting center on opening day, but not necessarily the starting center by midseason. I don't know enough about Monk. I just really like him. So I think that would be ridiculous for me to say he's going to win the starting job. I just don't have enough evidence to back that up. Obviously, Elton at left guard. And I kind of think the same thing at left tackle opening day. Like, I think we're kind of underestimating Rashid Walker. I did think that he played significantly better down the stretch than he had at the first half of the season. The guy started 17 games, including two playoff games. And I just think that, you know, in Morgan's case, he's obviously the guy of the future. But I keep going back to Bulaga, who, you know, if Tausch doesn't get hurt, I'd be curious to know how soon Bulaga enters the lineup back in 2010. Because he ends up being the youngest guy to ever start a Super Bowl. But if Tausch doesn't have his body start to break down on him, I'm not sure that they were going to replace Tausch with Bulaga as quickly as they did, because remember, Brian was really, really young and had not played a ton. He started as a true freshman in Iowa. It's not like he hadn't played, but I think they were thinking they'd be able to bring him along slowly. And then I think four games in, you know, Tausch gets hurt and he's done for the year. So Jason, you think
the drafting of Monk quashes Tom moving to center?
I do, yeah, I definitely do. I don't, you know, I know we got a lot of mileage out of Rob's comment, but as I said to him, and as I think we talked about, it's one thing for a couple of guys in the personnel department to think that, but if I'm Zach Tom and I see the contract that Sewell got in Detroit as a right tackle, I'm telling you, I ain't moving to center. I don't care what you tell me to do. You can go trade me to somebody else to play right tackle for them then, because I'm not getting paid like a center. I'm getting paid like a right tackle.
Yeah, this is the conversation we had a couple of years ago about somebody. Who was it that was a receiver tight end? Wasn't there a player who, like...
Jimmy Graham.
It was Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham wanted to be labeled a wide receiver because he
got the franchise tag.
That's right.
And he wanted to be paid the wide receiver money, but he was designated a tight end, so he got paid the tight end money.
All right, Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, he was neither during his time.
he was there.
All right, guys, take care. Yeah, he was there, unfortunately. Bye.
He was present. So we're going to put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll, because, Chewy, I think you bring up a great point about the offensive line. They're going to want to get those younger players in there at some point, the Monks and the Morgans of the world. But I was a little surprised that he thinks that Walker will kind of have a hold on that left tackle spot. And I thought Morgan, they kind of were saying, was going to be a starter from day one. Is he going to be a guard, Gabe? I mean, what do you think the plan is for Morgan?
I think what they were saying is they're going to start him at that position, not necessarily be the starter, because they want the competition. And the one thing that Jason's also brought up, the one thing we know about Rashid Walker is he's going to compete. Because he competed for the position last year, and that's how he ended up winning it. And I know that's what they loved about him, especially when we all thought that Yash Nyman was going to be the left tackle last year.
You can understand my confusion then with the, he's going to start at that position. Yeah. I thought start meant he was going to be the starter.
That's just where he's starting.
That's a little pampanish.
Starting there.
A little pampan.
Let's go to the mall.
Hello, Ms. Lady.
I think what they're trying to communicate is we'd like him to be our starting left tackle. We're not sure if he's going to be that good.
All right, we're putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Who would you like to be the starting left tackle when the season starts for the Green Bay Packers? We'll take a break. Roll on right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas as well.
They don't work. They're called poop. They're really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of brust in you. You know that?
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's a Hughes Day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you missed any of Jason Wilde's conversation with us, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, you name it. We did mention to him this idea of the Packers being the youngest team for the second year in a row in the NFL. Now, that is not confirmed yet. It will depend wholly on, I think, how many players they drafted that are in the starting lineup on defense and on offense. But based on the holes we knew they had, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, it is likely that they will be infusing some of those young players. And oh, by the way, the players that they got in free agency were pretty young as well.
Yeah.
In McKinney and Jacobs. So they're going to be, they skew young too. Chewy, do you agree with Goody kind of focusing on the NFL being a young man's game and there is more value in the players being younger and learning on the fly, right? That's always going to be the catch 22. Or having a veteran team who has been there, who has done that, who is less likely to make the mistakes that these young guys will make?
To me, I think it's more contractual than anything. Take Ryan, for example. Okay, well, I don't know what he wound up getting in New York. Is that where he went to the Giants?
Runyon, yeah.
So he probably got a handful of million. They look at him as a guy, and they're confident in the development of their O-linemen and their drafting ability. So their belief is, I can get the probably the same guy in the draft, not his experience, but I have to pay him a lot less money so I can pay Jordan Love and the linebacker. You know, guys like that.
Devondre Campbell.
No.
What are you talking Walker? About?
No. Michigan.
Gary.
Rashawn Thank Gary.
That was close.
You said Rashid. We should have known that. That's know. On us.
But I think that's why they do it, which is smart as long as you're confident in your drafting and development of that position.
John Runyon, by the way, did get a 3-year, $30 million contract.
See, I mean, so they're paying him 10 a year where they can come in and replace him.
Yeah, Ryan's making a million and a half.
Yes. Yes. That's why they do it. They don't do it because they're young. They just it's the same philosophy as getting a quarterback. You know, it's like, let's get him playing kind of early so he's good. We get a decision on the fifth-year option. We know if he's going to be a franchise guy. If he's not, get rid of him and move on.
But let me add one more wrinkle to why Goody's thought process might actually be a good one. We have seen over the last 10 years the NFL go from 16 games to 17 games, with that 18th game being just on the horizon, right? I know we keep talking about how it's going to happen.
Roger Goodell was very open about it during the Super Bowl, during the draft process.
Getting rid of a preseason game and replacing it with a actual live game. There's a part of me that thinks that an 18-game schedule, Chewy, that is a young man's game.
Yes.
Like the injuries and being able to wear and the tear of this league and the more games that you're adding, you just recover faster. You heal faster when you're young. This isn't rocket science. It's just the reality. And so there's a part of me, Gabe, that thinks that that might be something they are considering as well.
Yeah, but also, you're about to pay Jordan Love. He's going to get a big-time contract. With youth comes, to Chewy's point, inexpensive talent. And that's what you have to do. You have to, if that's what you're funneling through, because you're only going to pay select positions. I'm really curious of the guys who are going to get second contracts, the Rashawn Garys, the Jordan Loves. Like, who are you going to pay out of that wide receiver group? Are you going to pay any of them? Or are you just going to continuously try to backfill because you're going to have 10 to 12 picks in every draft?
Now this is a little sidebar here. And they really want that. If the players were smart,
which
if they
not.
Were smart, which they're not. I'm smarter than all of them. They're a bunch of dopes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ball.
They would say, okay, you want your 18th game? You want your 18th game in a season? I want 1 year knocked off of free agency. Want it off. So instead of the fifth-year option, it's a fourth-year option. Because just imagine a rookie being trapped, right? If you're a first-round pick, they have your rights for 5 years. Now, if it's a young man's game, you're going to be out the door.
You're going to
be out the door. I'd dig my heels in and say, you want the 18th game? Drop 1 year off of free agency.
Do you think that's more important, or is the franchise tag more important? Getting rid of the franchise tag.
No, I think.
Because the fifth-year option only affects
a handful
first round
of
picks.
Players. But, still,
but it's the same thing with the franchise
tag. But
still,
even 4 years, Gabe, being locked in for 4 years... You know, based upon how young the NFL's going, what's a long career now? I'm saying non-quarterback related.
5 years. Four and a half years. I actually got the numbers right in front of me.
Right?
The study shows the average experience of an NFL player, add This popped up right in the middle of the thing. Popped right up in the middle of the thing.
I thought you were saying ADD.
No.
I'm sorry.
4.6 years in 2005, 4.3 in 2020. So it probably has gone down even more. And the article that I'm looking at right now is talking about how the real casualty of that chew is the middle class veterans.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right now, there are more young, inexperienced players in the league than veterans who are average to above average. Again, we're talking about the NFL talent pool. We're not talking about the everyman talent pool. But if you are average to above average veteran in the league, you are now expendable for the reasons that you guys
have given. Replaceable. Because again, just the veteran minimum salary for you making $4.5 million, they'll go out and draft someone in the fifth round and think that they can replace
you. And every player would be behind it, getting to free agency 1 year quicker. They'd all be behind it, and then they would all vote for it. But you got to dig your heels in, and I would get that message out right now. You want the 18th game? Drop a year off for it. Let them chew on that for a while, and then don't move off it.
They're going to do something chew like
they'll talk to
grass fields everywhere.
Yeah, we want grass fields, just stupid
something
stuff.
Something that's not that significant.
Not to distract us from the contract negotiations here, but are we missing the boat on what Goody is telling us about the Green Bay Packers? We all think youth is the movement. Packers have always loved youth. But is he telling us this is still a team in rebuild mode?
No,
We thought Xavier McKinney was the... was the answer of like, oh, maybe they're going for it. Josh Jacobs, maybe they're going for it. But when you stay where you're at, trade back to acquire more picks and get even younger, because the guys drafted last year aren't going to make the team this coming round. Like Anthony Johnson Jr., be lucky if you make the squad. So you're now trading 23-year-olds for 22-year-olds, and you're getting younger and younger and younger. Like, to me, I think there's a lot. Goody's telling us this isn't nearly the end roster of what we want.
But if you look at Josh Jacobs' contract, they can get out of it at any time.
After 1 year.
After one year, he can be gone.
And I also think that the thing we just said about the league, the trend is the entire league is going younger. This is across the board. So then the goal is just to make sure you've got the better younger players than the next team.
I think we've skewed our perception of what the Green Bay Packers have always wanted to do because Aaron Rodgers caused them to go super old. He was basically, we need to keep everyone here and kind of keep status quo. And to me, the difference to me is the adding multiple players at one position. That's like the unique part. But I don't think they've changed in how much they prefer youth.
But I think they're going to continue to. So the thing about the two free agents that we talk about, right? Like to me, those are the free agents. And those are the only type of free agents that Goody's going to sign.
100%, I agree.
Yeah. Guys that are going to be in their mid-20s. Now, maybe he breaks glass in case of emergency. But I think the days of seeing a Julius Peppers who worked out or a Jimmy Graham who didn't, I don't think that Goody is looking at those people unless, again, he strikes out at a position the way he did at wide receiver when he initially got here, and then he's got to go out and dabble and get someone just to supplement the position.
No, I agree.
I do think that it's an interesting question that you're posing, Joshy, though, about are the Packers still in a rebuild? I don't get that vibe. I get the vibe that they are in a win now. Like, we talk about the window being open or closed, as we were discussing yesterday in the case of the Milwaukee Bucks. Right now, it feels like the window is open. And not just the crack that we talked about last year. It's cracked open. If you can kind of sneak through, oh, it'd be great to have that freedom. No, I feel like the window is open because you have your franchise quarterback. You're putting those pieces around him. You've got the guys in place to protect him. He has all of his offensive weapons, and now you have gone out and done what you can to take those shots in free agency, to build the defense in the draft. It feels like the Green Bay Packers right now are in a win now mode. Now, could it be like we have discussed with the Bucks, where this year is just kind of prepping for that next stage and you still have to go through the stages of success to get to the Super Bowl? Maybe. But it feels very much, and Chu, you tell me if I'm wrong, it feels very much like the way the Green Bay Packers are currently constructed, they are in a, we want to win the NFC, and we want to be in a Super Bowl in the next two seasons.
They got 3 years. 3 years. Because this is it for San Francisco. Okay, they're going to have to reset.
Speaking of
because
windows.
Because they're going to have to reset because they got to pay Purdy, and they're paying all these guys now. So they know that, all right, this is the year we have to win it, and then it's how long is that reset?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? How long is that reset? Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? Is it 5 years? Some teams are stuck in an internal reset a la Bears. That's what they got to manage.
Yeah.
You got three, quick reset. Jordan Love's still solid. To me, it's amazing that Kansas City can do it, and they're not doing it because of their players. I can tell you that.
because you love Andy Reid.
I mean, right? I'd like to think that Patrick Mahomes has, you know,
fine.
Something
he's
to
fine.
Do with the success that they've had.
He's
Kelsey
fine.
Just signed a new deal.
That's like,
that?
Thank you for your past service. That's all that is. That is. Am I right?
He's a Hall of Famer, man.
You typically don't give $34 million to a guy as a thank you.
I just had 100
you.
Yards and a big reason that they came back
I'm
in
going
the Super
to the
Bowl.
Just send a gift basket like everybody else.
I'm sure he likes cheese.
Potawatomi Casino Hotel has something bigger, better, and bolder, and it is coming your way this week. Guess where Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are going to be on Friday? That's right, the Potawatomi Sportsbook venue that will be opening that day. It has a 2,000-square-foot video wall. It has luxury seating for more than 200 people. It has an expanded food menu, and you guys are going to love this. There's a broadcast booth. That's where you'll find Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on Friday mornings. Mark your calendar for Friday. That's when sports betting in Milwaukee becomes like nothing you have ever seen before. Potawatomi Sportsbook, a new era of sports betting begins on Friday.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, could you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably could, like an egg? Try
Easter has a new meaning in the Chimura household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Milwaukee weighing in saying Goody's way could be good, but I think it's premature considering Green Bay hasn't been in a Super Bowl for 15 plus years. He has always been draft and develop, replace, and I could argue there have been times where they have not been all in to winning a Super Bowl. 800-990-3776 to get your reaction into the conversation we just had about Goody going young. Packers could very well be the youngest team in the NFL for the second year in a row. How do you feel about that? You think it's a good thing? We talked about how the league as a whole is going younger. We talked about the money benefits, financially, how it benefits a team. Do you like that the Packers could be the youngest team in the league for the second year in a row? We are at the clock. It is time to take a break. So what we're going to do is we're going to take that break. And we are going to talk about our friends over at Great Midwest Bank. And then we'll come right back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's baseball season, but I know for some of you folks, it is also house hunting season. Well, Great Midwest Bank is ready to get you to home plate with their easy home mortgage loan process. You can apply online in as little as 20 minutes. Submit your loan documents through Great Midwest Bank's safe online portal. And don't worry, you will always have a real person to talk to. Great Midwest Bank's local loan officers are just a call or a visit away. It is time to find your new home. And if you do need to, you'll have a home field advantage when you work with your community bank, Great Midwest Bank. And speaking of baseball, I do want to get to some of the things that have plagued the Brewers over the last few games. We'll talk about that in the second hour of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.